by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it, time and no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest may have in the middle of it. Rest may have in the middle. We are rest may have.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're attending the Thrive Time Show conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is occurring on April 16th and 17th. We're going to have some interviews with about three different individuals. And this first one is Lee Dundas. And boy, she is a great stand-up person for liberty and freedom. And Richard Reeves is interviewing her. And this took place yesterday, April 16th, at the Thrive Time Show in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Here we go with Richard and Lee Dundas.
Welcome once again, folks. This is Richard Reeves with TheSecretTruth.com. George Butler and Randall Mock, producing behind the scenes. And we are here honored as our guests to have Lee Dundas, that made the terrific anti-vax rant in Orange County here recently. So for the folks that don't know the story about that, tell us about it and give us a good summary.
Sure. So about 10 days ago, give or take, we got word that the local county health officer, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Clayton Chow, who has already been busted once by the medical board for not disclosing his pharmaceutical monies, that he, in conjunction with our superintendent of schools, were hatching a plan, and they were planning on doing two things. They wanted to turn our Orange County school campuses, that are paid with by our tax dollars, of course, into COVID vaccination sites. And worse, they wanted to try to figure out a way where they could legally sidestep informed parental consent, which the upshot of that, of course, is little Johnny can get bribed with a donut after recess to go follow the teacher or the nurse into the school office and roll up his sleeve and get a shot because somebody gave him a donut, and his mother would never be the wiser. So a lot of people were pretty upset about that, me included. And we got a few hundred of our closest friends together in under 24 hours. And we ended up at the next Board of Education meeting where we let the superintendent, the board is on our side largely. It was the superintendent and the health officer that were the problem. And we let him know exactly what we thought about that. They rolled it back the next day.
Well, and that is just so outside the pale that they were literally trying to figure out a way to circumvent parental rights. That, and I know that California had some vaccine agenda or issues previous to this even where they're trying to do that as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a long history in California of the erosion of parental rights when it comes to choosing or being able to say no to vaccines. It started in 2015 with the passage of Senate Bill 277. Senator Pan, who's got a lot of pharmaceutical ties, spearheaded that. And they were trying to get rid of religious exemptions, personal belief exemptions, and they unfortunately did. And he said he wasn't going to go after medical exemptions, but a few years later he was back at it again. And the latest goat rope was SB 276. And under that, and it passed, unfortunately, despite our best efforts, under that law, unless you have had one of two reactions, anaphylaxis or encephalopathy, brain swelling, you're not allowed, which are serious, you are not allowed to opt out of vaccines medically. Your doctor can't even write you an exemption. Now, the problem with that, and I can speak to this because I'm an environmental lawyer who used to represent pesticide companies and large chemical companies, the list of side effects on those manufactured inserts for childhood vaccines is longer than my arm, literally, if you unfold it. And it's not just anaphylaxis and encephalopathy. Quite frankly, if your kid has an anaphylactic reaction or an encephalopathic reaction, they're probably sitting in a hospital with their brain swollen. They don't need to go to school. They're not going to need to worry about a vaccine medical exemption to go to school. But, for instance, we have a person by the name of Joshua Coleman, and his son, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was the DTaP vaccine, had spinal cord swelling. It's a known side effect. It is warned of on the manufacturer insert as a known allergic side effect reaction. Well, that's not one of the two approved reactions. So in California now, if this child wants to go exercises constitutionally, because in our state it's a constitutionally state constitution protected right to an education, he has to choose between getting a DTaP vaccine that already swelled up his spinal cord so bad he's a paraplegic for life,
getting
a second shot of that,
or
foregoing his education.
Right? That's like a case of meningitis or similar?
It's spinal cord swelling, but okay. It swells up so bad in there that basically it compresses the cord and ruins the nerves in the cord itself so that you're paralyzed from so far, you know, down.
Oh, my gosh.
And, but that's not one of the allowed, you know, anaphylaxis or brain swelling reactions. So it's just ludicrous.
Right.
You've got Harvard, Stanford, you know, U.S. Chicago doctors 30, 40 years out, and the state of California inserted themselves into the middle of the doctor-patient relationship and said, we're going to have a kid with a high school degree, if that, overriding medical exemptions written by guys who are 30 years out of Harvard Med School. That's just wrong.
Right. And so parents are really faced with the choice now of doing public education or homeschool, or what are the choices to keep the kids out of that system in California?
Homeschooling, but I don't think that's going to hold for long. They're going to come after that as soon as they can. I mean, they're just on a tear.
Right. Well, ultimately, it needs to be defeated with the public school level, but at
yes.
least for now, in the interim,
yeah.
do homeschool.
Homeschool, unschooling, yeah, those are kind of your options right,
right.
now.
Right, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that's one thing about the COVID in general. It has really given homeschooling the impetus of, hey, figuring it out, checking it out, and doing
yeah.
it with your kids. I mean, personally, we've seen what public school has done to this generation that's grown a little bit older. They've taught these kids to hate our country. So
yeah.
it's like there's so many reasons why the public school maybe just needs to be kind of totally reworked somehow.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a fan at this point of giving the parents the money that would otherwise be spent on public schools and letting them use it on the school of their choice. That will be a market-driven response, and then the public schools will have to fall in line, start giving out a quality education, or go out of business. The market will correct it.
Something tells me the government officials' hair would stand on end if that really came close to happening, but it needs to happen.
It needs to happen. Under Trump, I don't think their hair would have stood on end, but under this administration, of course, it would.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, in California right now, they've gotten so much CARES Act money, they don't know what to do with it. They've got our teachers teaching classes by way of Zoom from other states where they're getting suntans, and they're giving these suckers $5,000, $6,000 bonuses for having done nothing all year other than show up on a TV screen.
Wow.
While our kids are literally blowing their brains out. They're so suicidal. It's
right,
horrific.
Right. Yeah, it has been a very big psychological toll on the kids.
Correct.
Now, what about the California teachers in general? They're pretty much still kind of trying to do all the education remotely and not come and do actual physical class, right?
Yeah, in a lot of counties, that's where it's at. Orange County, it's a slightly higher net worth county on the whole. We pushed hard. There's 28, I want to say, school districts under Orange County umbrella of education. And a lot of those districts have pushed really hard back against the unions and said, you are going to get yourselves on campus and you are going to teach on campus. But even with all that pushing that's gone on, the best we've got is 2 days a week for 4 hours a day. It's not exactly a quality exchange.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the hopes of trying to get the teachers back is there's going to be some level of pushback amongst the teachers on the vaccines as well, you would think. Probably a lot of, unfortunately, the breakdown is probably maybe 70 to 80% pro-vaccine and maybe 20 to 30. And unfortunately, they may just run those particular teachers out of their careers.
They may well indeed. The unions are driving this. The unions have become bloated, self-interested, self-absorbed. They're not in it for the kids. They're not even in it for the teachers. Plenty of teachers hate their union. But the unions are out to just protect themselves and be one of the biggest lobbyists in California, and that's why Newsom won't go against them. They're paying his paycheck. So.
Well, to change the topic a little bit, this
sure.
event is really incredible here. They've got thousands of attendees. They're sold out. And I've already met several folks from California here. So
yep.
it's really heartening to see that Californians are really starting to stand up and take action.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, Governor Newsom, thank you, Governor Newsom, for being the nuisance that's finally
that's
getting
right.
people going. So tell us what your perspective is about Governor Newsom, the shutdown, and these other aspects of the COVID.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think the blue state governors, in particular Whitmer, Newsom, and Cuomo, need to be tried for crimes against humanity. You take COVID-positive patients, which is not a highly fatal disease, but you take COVID-positive patients that are capable of being contagious, and you knowing that they're COVID-positive, you put them in a nursing home with little old people that are 100 years old and have no immune system left. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to extrapolate the math on that and realize you're going to kill people. And that is exactly what they did. Cuomo did it, Newsom did it, Whitmer did it. Thousands of little old people are dead. That is a crime against humanity. When you look it up on Wikipedia, you go Google that, it is defined as a systematic, widespread adoption by a government during times of peace or war. So you don't have to be at war. You can be in a time of peace like we are now, that is designed to eradicate or commit a genocide on a certain subset of the population. That is exactly what they did. Murder, too, is defined as doing something that you know is going to happen, and you should be able to foresee that death is a consequence. So you don't need to intend to kill anybody, but if I take a loaded gun and I fire into that room full of people just to make a loud noise because I'm drunk, and somebody dies, that's murder too. And in my book, it's no different what these governors did.
Right, and I think some of these governors, I think what they were counting on is their fellow 40-some-odd plus governors kind of following their lead,
yeah,
and committing the same crimes,
yeah,
quote-unquote. And it didn't. So now what's really bearing them out and really exposing them are being able to compare the numbers,
right,
amongst the different states. So
yeah, you've got states that are opening up and they have far better percentages on survivability and death and all that good stuff than the blue states do. And that is consistent with the medical science. If you actually go into the medical journals and you do some medical journal reading, there is an article that says the single worst thing you can do in an epidemic is lock a population down. You will actually increase the final epidemic size by doing that.
And so lower folks' immunity because they're not mixing and getting the natural immune.
You know, my husband told me 25 years ago, the immune system's like a muscle. Use it or lose it. You know, you're not exchanging germs. Your immune system gets bored. It loses its efficacy, and it turns on itself. You end up with autoimmune diseases like RA and all sorts of other stuff. So we need to get out in the sun. We need to work out. We need to socialize. We are meant to be social beings. I don't know if you know this, and I'm sorry I'm kind of going on here, but
it's really close
to my heart. Social distancing is a euphemism for social isolation.
Wow.
It is a wartime technique that was developed in 1951 by the precursor to the CIA, who met our military intelligence, met with the British military intelligence and the Canadian military intelligence at a Ritz-Carlton in, I believe, Montreal. And they sat down for a week, and their sole purpose was to figure out the single most effective way to break down an enemy of state. And so they commissioned studies, and when they got done with all these studies, what they realized is that the single best way to break another human being down is to socially isolate them. And that is why John McCain, coming back from Vietnam, said, "You can do anything to me. Break all my long bones again," which they already did to him, 5 years in isolation in his POW camp. And he said, "I will do anything. Any form of physical torture is better than being socially isolated from my fellow GIs." We are using techniques that alphabet soup agencies to this day use to break down prisoners of war because they work more effectively than physical torture, and we are deploying them against kindergartners.
And, you know, I've heard dozens, if not hundreds of people talk about the situation. You're the first one I've heard that's articulated that at that level, and so that is really awesome. And another thing to add with the social distancing part is to double down on that, the masking adds to that, because I find myself, I'm a little bit hard of hearing.
Yeah.
So part of the way I have to communicate with people, and you probably notice, is I'm watching your lips.
Of course.
So I can, you know, try to understand more clearly exactly what you're saying.
Right.
And so it's like literally breaking down, you know, putting up a wall between communication, literally and figuratively, with the
it
mask.
It is.
To the mask issue.
The masking issue is also, in my humble opinion, a real sin and a crime. There's a German neurobiologist that came out with an article. You can't get it on Google. They've suppressed it in the algorithm. But if you go to DuckDuckGo, you type in neurobiologist Germany and the wall will fall. She comes out in this article and she says that even a couple minutes of oxygen deprivation, and of course we're doing it 8 hours a day to our kids 5 days a week, even a couple minutes causes permanent neural death in the hippocampal region of the brain, which is not remediated when you restore oxygen. So what we are doing is permanently brain damaging our children and ourselves when we mask. You're rebreathing your own CO2. I mean, we all learned this in junior high. Your body produces waste. Digestive product produces We know what it produces. It's a waste product. And we don't eat it.
And this is part of your excretory system.
Yes, and our lungs produce CO2. When you rebreathe your CO2, your lungs do two things. Your brain and your organs are working on oxygen. And now they're not getting enough because you're rebreathing not oxygen. And so your body goes into hyperdrive. It goes, wow, I need to have my heart beat faster to take the available oxygen in my system and push it out to my organs. And I also need to breathe faster to get more oxygen in. That is why people feel like they're hyperventilating. They are. They're trying to compensate for the lack of oxygen. But what will happen if you go to OSHA's website, OSHA actually says, if they haven't scrubbed it yet, even if a worker survives a hypoxic insult from wearing a mask incorrectly, which everybody is now, there will be potentially permanent, irreversible, long-term organ damage to the kidneys, to the liver. We have no idea what we're doing to our bodies by masking. I mean, I don't do it. But this is a giant social experiment, and I don't think it's going to end well at all.
And it sounds like you've done a ton of research. So speak to also the aspect of you end up with a Petri dish on your face.
I mean, yeah, there's another epidemiologist out of somewhere in the Midwest, and he said, look, even the surgeons don't get it right. But we've all watched TV. Surgeons go in, they wash their hands all the way up to their armpit almost. They do this. You know, the nurse comes in, puts their gown on, ties it behind their back, masks them over the ears, and they are trained. They do not touch that mask. And when they walk into the OR, that room is temperature controlled. It's lowered to 60 degrees and is completely dehumidified. And if their mask gets wet at all from their own spittle, their own just moist breathing, or, you know, the patient bleeding something up into their face, they immediately stop the surgery and they take it off. Because all you're doing when you have a damp, wet cloth diaper in front of your face is you're creating a Petri dish that you are then breathing through.
Right.
We're creating lung infections. We know that. We're creating pneumothoraxes. We've got, you know, joggers jogging in China who blew pneumothoraxes that had to be surgically corrected because their lungs were overworking and blew a hole in them. I mean,
wow.
It's just crazy.
Well, and also one thing I've noticed is I'm a big fan of dining out, and I still love dining out, and I'm doing dining out. But if you watch the servers, the waiters, the waitresses, the bartenders,
yep.
the people in the kitchen,
right.
you know, the whole staff of the restaurant,
yeah.
if you watch them, you'll see sooner or later they're touching that mask.
Oh, they're touching it 10 times
right.
a minute. Yeah.
yeah. And then they're going right back and doing their work. So,
yeah.
so literally it's probably more hazardous now. As a matter of fact, recently a lady told me, well, we're wearing our masks. We've got to be safe. And I said, well, I think if we wanted to be safe, we would not wear a mask. And
correct.
So that's what we need to try to do, I think,
yeah.
is to combat the theory or the idea or the perception that people yeah. think that they're being safe. All right. Well, Lee, you've been very gracious to give us your time.
Pleasure's
I know
mine.
You've got people waiting to talk to you, I guarantee you. So we're going to let you go. But give us some of your last thoughts. Tell us, do you have a website? How can people keep track of your work and see more of your great videos?
I do. So my new splash page, since I'm censored on every social media platform pretty much
that's
recently.
That's a badge of honor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is LeeDundas.com. Now, my mother gave me extra letters in my name, so I have five letters in the word Lee. It's LeeGhDundas.com. And if you go there, it'll give you the address to my nonprofit website where I've got a lot of the research I was just talking about and a lot of the letters that I've written to county boards, school boards, schools that your public is welcome to download and send to their school because there's not enough of any one lawyer to go around and save this planet. And that would be my final word, and that is this. We are going to win this fight. And I know we're going to win because you and I are sitting here looking at each other, and that is proof positive that the human race has not yet done itself in.
Mm-hmm.
But we can shorten this game, and we should. Hitler was not the reason Nazi Germany was Nazi Germany. The Third Reich and the millions of Jews and Romanis, I'm Eastern European, Romanian ancestors, that died in the Holocaust were not the result of one man. They were the result of 6 million German people who turned a blind frickin' eye to what was going on. And if we want to stop this and we want to do it sooner rather than later, and I humbly believe we should, every single person needs to stand up. Because as Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Absolutely. And a tireless minority can win the day. And I think the tireless minority, the movers and shakers of the tireless minority for the whole country, are right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend.
Darn straight.
Lee Dundas, thank you so much.
Pleasure was mine, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She's very, very well spoken. She's not going to give up on these issues because she cares too much about it. And that's Lee Dundas. Coming up is Dr. Simone Gold. She has really been illustrative of her name because she is very dedicated and organize groups of different doctors to stand up to what's happening in this country. So here we go with an interview with Simone Gold and Richard Reeves.
Hi, this is Richard Reeves once again with thesecrettruth.com. We've got George Butler and Randall Mock producing the show here, and we've got Dr. Simone Gold, famous insurrectionist of all things, which I'm sure she's here to tell us the real truth on that. So, Dr. Simone Gold, I had the pleasure of seeing you at Rodney Brown's church in Tampa before the crazy event that went down. So, tell us a little bit about that time frame and what was going on, and weave in a little bit of what's going on with COVID that you see going on.
First of all, I really enjoyed my time with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I just want to give a shout out to him because it was a fantastic experience, and a lot of people all across the world saw that video, so I'm super grateful that people had that opportunity. And as you noted, a few days later, I was an invited speaker to speak at the Capitol on January 6th. I spoke on January 5th. Right in D.C., and then January 6th, I was supposed to speak at the Capitol. I was there as an invited speaker. I accept all invitations to large crowds because I'm so heavily censored on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I arrived, the speakers were canceled. We don't know why. To this day, they were canceled. But I proceeded to do what I always do, which is to speak publicly. There was a large crowd
there.
You're
all about getting the word out. I know
that. I'm all about getting the word out. If it's small or big, I get the word out. So I did speak publicly, and really I didn't think anything of it. Where I was very, very peaceful. There was certainly no violence of any kind. I would never participate in anything violent. Obviously, I try to save lives. And that
you're really trying to save lives, whereas the Dr. Fauci's of the world, they're not talking about vitamin D, or they're not talking about any kind of supplements to try to boost your immune system at all. I mean, you're really here to save lives.
Genuinely so. You know, I'm a doctor, and I'm a daughter of a doctor, and my whole life is about medicine and just helping people, and I didn't like the lies. That's why we spoke up publicly. But on that particular day, I spoke, I gave my speech, and later on we found out that there was such a big to-do in the media for what had happened, and I did see some pockets of violence on television. However, where we were was completely peaceful.
So you didn't even see any of that?
We didn't see any of that, and we watched.
So the news media totally took little bits and concocted it into the big thing.
It was overwhelmingly peaceful. It was kind of joyful. People were like, back the blue, back the blue. People were singing. People were playing.
It was like this event. This is a marvelous event here.
It was completely just a joyous, happy experience. And we enjoyed ourselves. And later we went to dinner. And then we found out that this was a big thing. And this was very shocking. And then we heard I was on a FBI list, which was ludicrous. I'm literally a doctor, lawyer, mom, public speaker. What are you talking about? I thought it was a joke. And 2 weeks later, the FBI... they arrested me, and you know, I will say, you know, we grew up thinking that the FBI was a revered institution that we should respect, but let me tell you, I don't know who's making the decisions at the FBI, and this is what I mean. Do you need 20 officers with 12 guns drawn on me breaking down my door?
No, that's like Sam Montoya, one of the videographers that works with Infowars.com that went into part of the Capitol. They did a similar thing to him. So basically, they're cherry-picking all of us patriots and people that love freedom, and they're doing these Gestapo tactics and they're busting his door down too. So they're basically taking as many folks, I guess. I don't know where they're going to limit it. I don't know if they're just going to limit it at the number of people that were inside the Capitol. But my guess is potentially they may even round up the ones that were where the barricades were at one point in November and December. So who knows what lengths they're going to take it to. But bottom line is... What's going on with your case? Is it going to be disposed of? What can you tell? You probably can't tell us everything that's going on, but tell us what you can.
Right. So, of course, lawyers never want you to speak up publicly. However,
right. We don't want to violate.
It just has to go through its legal process.
Okay.
Cases, they're taking a very long time because they did this to so many people. I understand there's about 400 people like myself that they've pulled in. I don't know any of them.
And they're also using COVID to drag it all out.
Yes, so they are using COVID to... You have a legal right to a speedy trial, but it's utterly impossible at the moment. My understanding is that even the judges are getting frustrated at the fact that the government isn't turning over evidence. There's never going to be any evidence of anything other than what I've said I've done, which is speak publicly.
Right.
So I actually look forward to my day in court. There will be no plea bargain from me. I've done nothing wrong, and I look forward to my day in court. The government will either drop their charges against me, or they'll be court. You know, I just don't believe a jury of Americans will have any problem with what I did.
Total jury nullification is what needs to happen in your case,
yes.
No doubt, absolutely. And it should be interesting to see. Will there be any level of discovery that you'll be able to find out more information about the wrongdoings of the government in this case, and not just the government, but also the media, what they did?
Right. So, you know, I don't know exactly all the ins and outs of the particulars. I know that I was a person who was very peaceful, mm-hmm. speaking out loud, asserting my First Amendment rights, and that's what I know for certain.
Okay.
So that's what
we're
going
to. I know you're short on time, so let's shift gears a little bit and tell us, what are the latest things regarding COVID here in the last couple of months?
Right. So first of all, I want everybody to be reassured that they don't need to live in fear of COVID-19.
Right.
If you come down with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you should be on an early treatment medicine. That's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide. If your doctor won't prescribe this, shame on your doctor. But you can come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org and you can sign up with a telemedicine visit. And our doctors are knowledgeable about these things and will prescribe it to you and will mail it to your home. So first of all, don't live in fear. Do not live in fear. Second, if you feel like your civil liberties are being abridged, again, come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org. We've set up a legal section. There's so many constitutional infringements that are happening, forced to wear masks, or we're talking about forced vaccines. We're going to help you. We're pairing people up with attorneys, and we're also teaching people their legal rights on americasfrontlinedoctors.org. We now set up a legal section. We got it ready in time for this conference. We ask you to use it. And the third thing is we've set up a citizen corps. People want to know, what can they do to, you know, what can I do to volunteer to help myself and make sure that our Constitution stays intact? Come to americasfrontlinedoctors.org, sign up for the Citizen Corps. In your neighborhood, you'll be able to find like-minded people. You'll be able to do fun activities. We do things called masquerades.
Organize.
Organize, but, and we make it fun. So if you want to go into a store without a mask, we call that a masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we want to have dinner parties,
et cetera. Love that.
Citizen Corps at americasfrontlinedoctors.org.
Hmm. So what state are you based in? I'm just curious.
Unfortunately, California.
California? Okay, well, so you should connect. You probably know Lee Dundas, right?
Oh, my God, a warrior, a fierce warrior.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. This lady here is Dr. Simone Gold, connecting with Lee Dundas. Totally New World Order. Watch your butt. We're going to kick y'all's butt. We got the women coming on board in a big fashion now. It's lovely to see.
Thank you.
Simone Gold, any last words for our audience, and thank you for coming on.
So important not to live in fear. There's no reason to live in fear. And when you take back your joy, you'll have the energy to fight. Come join the Citizen Corps, americasfrontlinedoctors.org.
Awesome.
This conference is turning into a synergy of goodness. And the speakers that were on the agenda there, part of the itinerary, are outstanding Christians all across the country. And included in there are people that are really stand-up patriots. Today is Saturday, April 17th, and we're going to end the program with Mike Lindell, and he's the Mr. Pillow Man. I even hate to mention that because he's more than that. But Mike Lindell is a really stand-up, you know, man, and he's quite a Christian, and he believes in what the goodness of this country, and he is really one of the most positive speakers I think we've had. But also we had Dr. Gold was also very dedicated. General Flynn, we got some video of him yesterday, but we didn't able to get an interview with him yesterday. So, and his itinerary was pretty crammed, pretty busy. But right now, we've got Mike Lindell and Richard Rees, and they're getting ready to go. And this is done just a few minutes ago. We're uploading this about an hour after the actual interview on April 17th. And here we go with Richard Rees and Mike Lindell.
Welcome once again, folks. Richard Rees with TheSecretTruth.com. We've got George Butler, Randall Mock producing the show behind the scenes, and we're honored to have a fantastic guest. And even before I introduce him, I want to say this, folks. Write this down. Get your pen and paper. MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Get ready. After this interview, after you watch what Mike has to say, go there and warm up the credit card. All right, Mike Lindell.
And use promo code Mike.
All right, hey, promo code Mike. And guess what? Mike might get a little commission from it. So, by the way, I love this pen. I wish that we could get a close-up, but hopefully you can sell that on MyPillow.com as well, that pen.
I don't, but I have one.
But tell us what's going on.
Is everybody, we're here at this great event with everybody. You've got so many podcasters, so many radio stations, so many people that are getting canceled out, taking away our platforms of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Google. All these things are trying to cancel the mainstream media.
And I know you've been at the forefront of that being canceled out. Tell us about all that.
Yeah, I've lost 20 some retailers. Twitter, both my Twitter accounts, Facebook, when I put something up there that's like absolute proof, my movie, they'll put contains nudity and profanity, you know. Vimeo, all these, I've lost them all, but that's why one of the reasons I came up with frankspeech.com, and this is like YouTube, Twitter, and if everybody goes there, and you guys got to get your show on there too, it's, you know, when we get there, on Monday at 9 o'clock, I'm going to be making a big announcement. We're going to be on 40 hours straight, 48 hours. And at that time, we're going to do an announcement between 9 and 10 o'clock Central Time. It's going to be heard around the world.
And repeat that website again.
It's frankspeech.com, frankspeech.com. The platform is Frank, and it's we're going to be able to handle hundreds of millions of people. I've got my own service, whatever. It's like a YouTube, Twitter combination. Now, when you get there and set your profile up on Monday at 8 a.m., you can set it up, but you won't be able to do anything. I'm not going to do anything the first 2 days to comment and stuff, the first 48 hours, because we're going to go live from there. And we're talking about our First Amendment that's been taken down, our right to free speech. We're going to talk about, on Tuesday, I'm launching the next movie, Absolute Interference. This is going to change the world because, you know what? You watch this, and we're going to have the guys in there I had investigate the machine fraud and this attack by China. And you're going to see these guys are going to be on camera with me, their faces blocked off. But we have, with all this evidence, doesn't matter. If you watch this, even if you're far left or whatever, and you like what's in office, it don't matter. You're going to say, wow, China attacked. We got to do something.
Right. And I really want to thank you on behalf of the United States of taking on the electronic vote fraud, because so many people, including hundreds if not thousands of politicians that have lost races to these electronic vote fraud machines.
Yep.
And Mike Lindell, the MyPillow.com guy, stands up and takes them on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know what? Then you're right. The whole world is watching. All these other, I'm going to put on TV too on Tuesday, the history of the machines. They started in Venezuela, started with Smartmatic, and we're going to go through the timeline. It took them 2 years to take Venezuela. Then they take down tickets and everything with these algorithms. Now, and then it's going to go, then we're going to have a big timeline. Then they went over here to this country. What did they do there? This country did them. We're going to see how they split different entities. Dominion's just a big, kind of a shell for Smartmatic.
Right.
Smartmatic's the mothership. All the people that work for them, I hired my own private investigators. We investigated them all. We got, and I'm going to show it to the world on Tuesday. By the time you watch this, you'll have forgotten more about machines than anyone will ever know.
Wow. Well, the powers that be definitely stepped on the wrong toes here. So I'm so glad you're on our side exposing that. And that's on Monday.
Monday to join frankspeech.com at 8 a.m. to join Central Time. 9 a.m. we're going live. If any of you are old enough to remember the old Jerry Lewis telethon, this is going to be a Frankathon. We're going 48 hours live.
Wow.
And we're going to have, I'm having Alan Dershowitz on there with my team of lawyers. He's going to be on there and talk about free speech, talk about what's going on out there when they're threatening lawsuits and suing people. Dominion is, and Smartmatic, just so we don't talk about it.
Right.
And people now are losing their stuff because they talk about the vaccine, or if you talk about, I don't want to wear any masks, you talk about the border, people are getting canceled out.
Right.
And that's what we're all going to talk about the first whole day. The next day, all the evidence is pouring out. You're going to see the debut of the movie Absolute Interference. It's going to change the world. Then going forward, I'm encouraging every single person in the world can come to frankspeech.com. It's the platform's called Frank. This is your new Twitter, YouTube combo kind of thing. There's nothing like it out there. It's got, I have a media platform where you're going to, all these media people that have been suppressed now can talk freely. Mm-hmm. And I did say on there, I said, well, what do you mean by free speech, Mike? Can anybody say anything? I said, well, what we did is we went back to the founding fathers, what they considered free speech in our country.
Right.
And we also checked on some court cases. Well, you know what? Free speech is based on biblical principles, actually the Ten Commandments, the way it's explained.
Right.
So we're putting that statement.
So free speech is backed by truth.
Backed by truth. Backed by, you're not going to say, I'm going to kill you. Well, that's one of the commandments.
Right.
You can't write that on there.
Right.
And I said, and you're not going to be able to use God's name in vain on the platform. And then what did old Jimmy Kimmel do on a couple nights ago? He goes, Mike Lindell's coming out with his new platform. It's called Frank Speech, frankspeech.com. And he goes, but it's not free because I can't swear or use God's name in vain. That's what he said.
I believe.
And then
yeah.
he bashed me for being an ex-crack addict. He said, you know, and attacking my Lindell Recovery Network. And but Frank's speech will be huge. And yeah, we welcome everybody. I want everybody to go there because we can speak freely again and be able to say opinions. I want to hear, you know what? That vaccine, no, I don't believe it at all. I think it's Mark of the Beast. But I have friends of mine that want to take one, or people that I know, loved ones, and they're going to take one, and I want to know which one would be safe. And then I find out none of them are FDA approved.
None of them are safe. No.
None of them are.
They're all under emergency FDA authority.
Yeah.
And so we're literally the guinea pigs that they're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
The good news is the last numbers I heard out of Texas, only 12% have vaccinated in Texas. And now they've opened it up to where anybody that wants to take it can take it, but they're only sitting there at 12%, so we're probably going to see in Texas 60, 70, maybe even 80% saying not just no, but hell no.
Right, exactly. So, And I've said it before, you know, if you want to take a vaccine in Israel, the big fight over in Israel, they wanted, the government there wanted all of Israel to, if you didn't take the vaccine, you couldn't work and you couldn't go in public.
Can't even travel.
Well, let me tell you, there's a lawsuit against, it's for that change. And I got on the speaker over there and I said to him, I said, if you take the vaccine, good for you, Special K. You shouldn't worry about what I do then.
Totally.
You should not worry about what I do if you think it's so good.
Right.
You know, but don't worry about what I do. You know, and the guy goes, well, you know, it's going to save more deaths. I said, you don't need to worry about me. I think if I take it, I'll die. If I don't, I won't.
Yeah,
that's
like, you take care of you, I take care of me. So
that's right.
That's great. Well, Mike, I really appreciate it. And final words, whatever you got to say, it's on your mind.
Well, what I want to tell everyone is we're going to get all this. We're in the greatest time in history. We're living in a time where it's historical with the changes that are coming. We get out there about, I don't know how far out, it's just like my life, you know, I'd see something bad would happen and I go, oh, it was devastating at the time. I look back now, I go, that had to happen to get to where the great spot now, right? So we're going to get to this great place. It's going to be the biggest uniting of a country in history, and we will once again be one nation under God. And I believe right now, I know we are in the biggest revival for Jesus ever.
Ever. Yes, ever. Sir. Totally agree.
God bless you. Thank you.
Mike Lindell is one of the most positive speakers at this Thrive Time show that we've had here over the Friday and Saturday in Tulsa. Coming up next is Richard Reeves sitting down yesterday with Alan Keyes, and this is a very, very interesting interview. So here we go with that Richard Reeves reporting and interviewing Alan Keyes. Here we go now.
This is Richard Reeves with thesecrettruth.com. Producer George Butler on hand, running camera, and we are here with Dr. Alan Keyes. Welcome to The Secret Truth, Doctor.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Thank you.
Well, it's been probably 2-3 years since I heard you do a talk show, and so kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of what's gone on with you over the last year or so during all this COVID upheaval that we've been having.
Well, I think like most Americans, especially those who are interested in discussing, otherwise moved to care about the overall future of our country. I think I've been concentrating a lot on that as I do a television / radio show. We go out over both mediums, but the internet TV show, which airs on live at live.brighteon.com, starting at 1 p.m. We have programming throughout the afternoon. I bring in folks to talk about the ongoing crisis of the country from a political point of view, a social point of view, but especially from the point of view of the fundamentals that both define and help us to maintain our identity as one nation, but also those institutional challenges that are now, quite frankly, for the first time in our history, threatening not just to divide us, but to overthrow our Constitution and way of life. I think I would never have said that before.
Right.
I thought that Obama was kind of a nadir, in my opinion. I didn't think it could be worse. But Obama was still socialism, the commitment to communism, there in his background, but with a mask on. Now they want us to wear the mask because they've taken their mask off and are now openly revealing themselves to be despots and tyrants who mean to get rid of our liberty and put us under a form of government in which we do what we're told when we're told, and the initiative has passed to those who have proven themselves to be our superiors in terms of their ability to lie, cheat, steal, and kill their way to power.
So here we've experienced a year of this new encroachment on our freedoms and liberties. Now we're, since the shutdown, about 13 months in. So it's looking like part of the people are trying to break free and trying to go back to our old normal, which should be appropriate. But do you think that humanity here in the United States is successfully going to roll back this tyranny that's been imposed with the COVID?
Well, not on our own. We're not. We're not going to do it on our own because we actually didn't successfully establish or maintain our way of life on our own. We did it from the very beginning. The very first word spoken by the American people was that they would assume among the powers of the earth that station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. We are a country that was grounded on a recognition that the standard of right and wrong is the standard that has to govern people if they are determined to do what's right. And that standard is a standard that was made plain in the Declaration. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And unalienable rights are not freedom simply. They are the use of freedom to do what is right according to the standard of God's endowment. I think that the way that they phrased it intellectually is perfect, because we all know the endowment in a will, right? Consider the situation. You're dead, right?
Right.
As from our human perspective, that endowment is the endowment of someone who can't force us to do what we're told.
Right.
But we have to choose to do right according to the terms of that endowment. And that's exactly what our rights are.
Right.
But they therefore represent an opportunity, but they're also a discipline. They represent a use of freedom, but they also represent a responsibility that we will choose to undertake to treat one another and to treat the challenges of the world according to the endowment of God. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It absolutely does. So basically, our country's inception counted on the people wanting to do right, like you said, and also divine intervention, I guess would be a word that maybe that's not the right word, but divine power coming to those people to help them establish the nation. So it's almost like we're at that point in time again where we need to reinstitute that.
Well, see, I think we never left the point where we depend on the providence of God to empower us, because freedom itself is a gift from God, right? And so he has empowered our freedom. We get the choice. But if we use the choice in a way that contradicts the terms of our own existence, then we're going to extinguish ourselves. And I think the epitome of that in our society and civilization is that we have decided that the first right listed in the Declaration is no longer right according to the standard of God, which we are responsible to obey, so that there is an imperative that we choose to respect that life in ourselves and others. No, we have actually turned all the way around from that in order to claim the right to destroy life for the sake of our own convenience, pleasure, whim, will, ideology. And I think that that's why we're in what could prove to be an existential, a life-threatening crisis for our whole nation. Because if we turn away from the standard of God that endows us with our unalienable rights, we have ourselves surrendered those rights and are going to suffer the consequences, which in this case means the end of our constitutional self-government.
Well, potentially, I think you're right, and everybody better strap in and fasten their seatbelt. Now, one of the things that has occurred is with the presidential election in November changing hands to
President Joe Biden. I personally believe buku election fraud in the process, but nonetheless, Joe Biden is the president right now, and I actually think, though, that it may be beneficial to our cause to fight for freedom and liberty and to reclaim our God-given rights, because instead of us counting on one man, Donald Trump, as president, now potentially we have millions of people that are not going to sit and let the president try to handle it. They're going to each take action in their own way to reclaim our God-given rights.
I think we underestimate what the Trump phenomenon was all about, because nobody was relying on Donald Trump alone. Donald Trump was relying on the fact that the people of this country knew what they wanted.
Right.
They knew they wanted border security. They knew they wanted to respect life in the womb rather than destroy it.
Right, and they were
they
ready
knew
for
they
Donald
wanted
Trump.
To act in such a way. He was ready for them.
Right.
See, I think we're getting it all wrong. The people of the United States made the choice. Joe Biden is an alleged president
because
there's much evidence that the election was stolen. If it was stolen, it is not Donald Trump that suffered. It is the self-government of the American people. For without elections that have integrity, there can be no representation. And without representation, we have no republic in the sense that our Constitution requires. So I think that we're in an existential crisis. And it's not about one person. It's about the whole American people. And it's about those who want to deprive us of our courage, which is what I think the COVID crisis was about, so that they can trample all our liberties, which I think was also what the gubernatorial edicts and lockdowns and all of this were about, and end us and end us in a place, or put us in a place, where we end up without liberties, without faith, and without any hope that we will end the tyranny that they impose. And it's not coming, y'all. It is upon us. And if we don't act right now to reclaim the faith, reclaim the courage, and reclaim the commitment to God-endowed right as exercised voluntarily by our choice to do what it is right to do according to his will, then our country is going to be ended, is in the process of being ended by forces that have intended ideologically to produce this result for my whole lifetime.
Well, that's well said. And one of the ways I use to describe our political predicament right now is I like to say that we're actually in political outer space, because we had the November election that arguably was a failed election. We tried to go through the judicial system. There were numerous failures in the judicial system. We tried to go through legislative bodies at the state and federal level. Failures there. And then ultimately, even our executive branch arguably failed in January. So I say we're actually in political outer space.
Well, I'm not sure of that myself. I think that, how can I put this? In the presence of God, we are where we have been since the founding. In a position, if we act with courage and with the determination to acknowledge the truth of God's goodwill, we can in fact reclaim our victory as a people, and do it on a basis that revives and reinvigorates our commitment as a people to represent what I believe the founders wanted us to be, a token of God's goodwill toward the whole human race. And I think we haven't lost that. And Americans haven't come to the point where they're ready to give it up without a fight. I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Keyes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good meeting.
That concludes our program from Tulsa. And it's just happening right over the Friday and Saturday. So you're getting it really up-to-date information from this. And what we have here is we have a synergy that has been developing. And I didn't know it was going to be this as positive as it really turned out to be. Randall Mock and I drove up all night, you could say, early Friday. We arrived here on Friday morning, and I could not believe my eyes or my ears. Rema Church here in Tulsa, in Broken Arrow to be exact, was overflowing. My gosh, there were people, arms and legs, sticking out of every window of this church when we arrived. When we got here, there was an overflowing crowd of enthusiastic Christians that, golly, it was amazing what we saw. We went up to the security directing the autos, and they have several acres of parking in behind the church. It was full. So Randall and I sneaked around the building, and we found an end row that had two or three spaces enough around the end row to park. So we sort of double parked in there, and we were seeking media passes, and they said that, you know, that that would be okay. We put up there a little note in the window, media, phone so-and-so. We put his number on there so that in case it would, you know, wasn't going to be towed. Anyway, we went in there and started setting up, and I set up this camera, and it's a small camera, but it's very good. And we did about 10 interviews on Friday. And Richard Reeves came in. Man, he did a marvelous bang-up job. The guy has probably, I'd say, 10 to 15 years of interviewing people. So he's excellent, and he has a large amount of information and experience in politics. He went on the trail there for Ron Paul. And I think he did a little work for Rand, but mainly Ron Paul. And he's been out there on Trump's campaign. And he's just a really stand-up person. Well, he came in and started interviewing these people. And my gosh, I have I have separate mics set up. And they go into a splitter that a good friend of mine, David, provided me. And thank you, David. And they go into the camera. The levels are very close, and we were in a media room, in the back of the church that was very loud. I mean, there were about six or eight people doing interviews, but what you do in a kind of a recording like that is you crowd the mic, and then what it does is it overwhelms the background noise. So you get good vocals as long as that mic is up close within an inch, about 2 inches from your mouth, and you're speaking up, you know, you're projecting yourself real well. Well, anyway, we adjusted the mics like that. We have excellent video. And so in all, we started out with Alan Keyes there. He had his own imtv.com site. He's radio broadcasting now. And he came over, and we started off, Richard started off with Alan Keyes. We got this Lee Dundas later, Dr. Simone Gold, and I think we ended up with Mike Lindell, even though in the order of this broadcast, I think I put Alan Keyes right at the end there. And I got to talk to each and every one of these people that we interviewed, and I tried to impress upon them that what we've got to do is come together, but we must stop hating and resenting. Because what we're doing is we're being controlled by the opposition, the dark forces, and they nurture and they promulgate the dynamic of non-forgiveness and hatred and resentment. And they just stir us around and we're just used all the time. And what we have to do is we have to begin to rise above that particular manipulation. But I expressed that view to some people, and some people about 60 to 70 my age really keyed in on some of these things I was saying. And even a younger man with longer hair, looked sort of on the hippie side, he began to understand what I was saying about the forgiveness angle. But anyway, we went through those interviews. We slept like a rock. We went to motel time on Friday, and I think I slept from about 8:30 Friday evening to about 8:30 in the morning. I think I slept 10 or 12 hours because I was totally wiped out after driving over 7 hours, about 8-hour trip from Austin. So we got up here. We didn't want to fly. That's really a hassle these days. And we had equipment to bring anyway. We had three cameras. We had the extension cords. And they did have a nice media room, and I will say that about the media room. We had a marvelous staff up here that brought in a lot of good, interviewees, for us. And we also got Patrick Byrne in here at the end. I didn't have time to capture that particular interview, and I think it was cut short because he had to go out and speak or something. But anyway, Patrick Byrne was one of the last guests that Richard Reeves interviewed. But what we finally came up with, I think, is a very, very good collection of interviews. And these people are sincere people. They speak from the heart. We're talking about a clean-cut group of people. They're God-centered, and they have families that they take care of their families. You know what I mean? And they nurture their families. And I'm sure they discipline their families when their families get out of line, you know? I mean, when I was growing up, my brother and I, when we were mean little devils, you know, my dad would come home from the office, and my mom used to say, "You're going to get it. He's going to put the belt on you." And boy, my dad put the belt on us. And, you know, he spanked us back then, corporal punishment. And we deserved it. We deserved each little hit of that belt, you know. Because when you do something wrong and you know you're wrong, then when you're punished, you're not resentful because you know you did wrong. Today, the arrogance, I think, of people screaming at they could be committing laws exceeding all kinds of laws and so forth. And they just scream at the top of their lungs that they're not guilty whatsoever. And they try to rationalize their behavior with some very flimsy or nonsensical excuses of why they behaved in a certain manner. These types of unlawful, unrestrained, chaotic criminal types of behaviors are sweeping the country. We've got to really get back on track. And this communist movement that started back up in this country, it just didn't start a few weeks ago or last summer or whenever George Floyd was died there at the hands of the police. This movement, this transformation movement, has been underway since John Dewey was a great influence on our education system. Yes, John Dewey, who is highly touted as our father of American education, was a Trotskyite. Leon Trotsky was his hero. And Leon Trotsky was one of the founding members of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia that overthrew the Tsar, murdered the whole family, and took over. Some would say that it was an experiment promulgated by the European, the British, and American interests together, or by the British alone. We don't know all the little dirty details, but some of the details are beginning to come out slowly but surely. I'm sitting out in the back of the church in a hallway, and they got me one of these little white, Randall Mock, and his good graces got me this little white chair I'm sitting on. I'm listening to the Star Spangled Banner there being sung out in the auditorium, and it's packed. It's totally packed. And there's a renewal here. I feel the spirit of a great renewal, an arising, a renewing of spirit, a renewing of self, a renewing of God-centered, let's get the job done, let's get back to God, and let's start worshiping together again. So here we are broadcasting live from the Baptist Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I want to thank each and every one of our listening audience, and we bless each and every one of you. We hope you have a wonderful Saturday evening and all day Sunday, and then have a wonderful week. But thank you for listening to The Secret Truth, and God bless each and every one of you. And we just got to come together to save this country. It sounds corny, but it's real. It's a real fact. Good night.